Well, it's day three, and most of you have come back, so that's cool. I saw a few stragglers outside walking around, so if you see them, be sure and shame them for not coming to church and worship God and be together. A couple of summers ago, I was in Washington, D.C. It was my father-in-law's, I think it was his 70th birthday, and we wanted to take him to Washington, D.C. to see the Marine Corps Museum. He is a Marine. Any Marines out there? There's usually one. None. Well, he was a Marine. Once a Marine, always a Marine. And so we took him to the Marine Corps Museum. It was an amazing, amazing place. If you're ever in Washington, D.C., do yourself a favor and go to the Marine Corps Museum. You kind of walk out of there wanting to enlist. They should have a recruiting office right there. We then went to the Vietnam Memorial, which is quite sobering, and then to Arlington Cemetery, and to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier to witness the changing of the guard. Has anyone ever seen the changing of the guard in Washington, D.C.? It's an incredible ceremony full of pomp and circumstance. There's always a crowd of people there. They take the changing of the guard very, very seriously. And so we were there. They asked you to be quiet, please. And so it was silent, and you could hear the clicking of the soldiers' boots, the rattling of the guns. And right in the middle of the changing of the guard, some lady's cell phone went off, and you could feel all of the atmosphere change, and I walked away from that. It just felt so dishonoring. That was the word that I would use. Now, I'm an observer of life, and it's amazing what you can experience if you simply pay attention. To quote one of my favorite philosophers of all time, Dr. Seuss, from his great, great work, One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, he says, from here to there, funny things are everywhere. And they are, and it's true. But I've wrote my own quote, and I would say, from there to here, from here to there, there are unsettling things everywhere. But there are things that unsettle me as I look around at our world. I was walking with my family once down a street, and there was a couple. I assumed they were married, and they were walking down the street, and they were about to run into us because the man wasn't paying attention, as men so often do, and his wife grabbed him by the shoulder and said, "Honey, you're going to hit these people," and he spun around, and he said, "Don't you ever touch me like that again." Oh. I've also watched parents give direction to their children. Children look blatantly and defiantly into their parents' eye, and they say, "No, Mommy, no." I've watched a teenager cuss out their mom in public. I was in an airport one time, got delayed, as you so often do. It's frustrating, but I always say, bring a book, because it's bound to happen. I watched a man in a suit go off on the desk agent as if she could do anything. One time, I was driving in my car, and I cut this lady off. It was an accident, but it wasn't, like, accident-worthy. But I did, and she drove by, and she told me I was number one. That's what I believe it means. I see people rant and rave on social media, saying horrible, horrible things because it's easy to hide behind a computer screen. Road rage and rudeness and sarcasm. You know where the word sarcasm comes from? It comes from the Latin word meaning to render flesh, to tear. I wonder if we've crossed a line somewhere, because I observe this going on more and more and more, and I wonder, is just the behavior of people in general getting worse? Why is this happening? Well, I believe there is a virtue that is endangered. It's an endangered species. It's the virtue of honor. I look around society and I wonder from time to time, where has all the honor gone? For centuries, people wanted to live lives of honor. The most coveted of all medals in the military is the Congressional Medal of Honor, which was instituted in 1863 by Abraham Lincoln. It's the ultimate award that an American combatant can receive. By the end of World War II, the Medal of Honor had become a sacred icon, and those who received it became the stuff of legend. In order to receive the Congressional Medal of Honor, one must act above and beyond the call of duty. No one can receive this medal by acting under orders. The recipient must have acted of their own will and accord and out of complete selflessness. The president himself salutes anyone who wears this medal, regardless of rank. General George Patterson once said that he would give his immortal soul to receive the award. And two presidents said they would rather have the Medal of Honor than become president. All because people desired to live lives of honor. And yet I look around and I wonder, where has all the honor gone? Where has the virtue, and might I say the Christian virtue of honor gone? Because I believe that if we would live lives of honor, we would experience a cataclysmic shift in life. The virtue of honor is talked about in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 in the Old Testament says this: as a son honors his father and a slave his master, if I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty. The book of Malachi is the last book of the Old Testament. God in this book is making an argument against his people, Israel. He's asking them, where has all the honor gone? You no longer honor me. When you sacrifice, you offer me your leftovers. Turning to the New Testament, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10 says this in the English Standard Version: let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in the showing of honor. The Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the church gathered at Rome and giving them some practical instruction. I think the Bible is very, very practical. Paul is saying to people, this is ordinary Christian life. Honor one another. Well, the problem is honor gets confused with respect. Respect is a feeling of admiration. Honor is very, very different. The word for honor in the Hebrew language is the word kabod. It means to give something weight. In the Greek, it's the word timaeo, which means to give worth or value to something. So the word honor literally means to give weight or worth to something. The biblical concept of honor, weight, and worth. 2 years ago, I was standing at my church and I was giving a message. When I stand up on the platform, I can see everybody, like I can see everybody here. And there was a couple that had walked into our church, and the man was wearing a three-piece suit and a tie. The woman was wearing an ankle-length skirt. And as I was giving my message, I looked at them and I thought to myself, well, they're never coming back. That was the first thought that I had. Our church is a little laid back, and I thought they're never going to accept what we do here. But the next week, they came back. And the week after that, they came back. I learned the man's name was Rod, and Rod and I became friends. Rod was probably in his mid-70s, and we would talk and talk about things. And one day, Rod walked up to me after church was over, and he said, Mike, would you do me a favor just one time? And I said, what's that, Rod? He goes, would you just one time wear a suit coat when you speak? I said, Rod, buddy, I don't even own a suit coat. It was all right. 3 days later, walked to my office at church, and hanging on my door was a coat with a note that said, now you do. All right, buddy. So that's how our relationship began. And a couple of years went by, and many lunches and many, many conversations went by, and got to know Rod and love him. And one day, Rod said to me, he said, Mike, I've got something for you. I said, okay. And he comes to my office with this huge wrapped gift. And I unwrapped the gift, and the gift is this painting. You maybe have seen it. You can buy it just about anywhere. It's called The Bookworm. I think we've got it on the screens if you can't see it here. He gave me this picture in this frame, and he said, Mike, this picture's been hanging in my house, and when I see it, I think about you. And at the bottom, he had attached the scripture verse that says, study to show thyself approved unto God, and a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, you can buy this print at Target for about $15.99, because I checked. But I wouldn't sell you this print for $15.99. I wouldn't even sell you this print for $1,000. On the back of this print, Rod wrote, Mike, being a messenger of God's word is not an easy thing to do, but you've inspired me to be a better Christian because of it. Keep concentrating on the only book that has all the answers. God bless, Rod, October 6, 2013. 2 months later, Rod died of leukemia. I keep this picture on my shelf, and it has a place of honor. I give weight and value to this picture. I wouldn't sell you this picture for $1,000. I wouldn't sell you this picture for $10,000. Matter of fact, I wouldn't sell you this picture for $1 million. Well, Rod would understand for $1 million. But you get the point. It sits in a place of honor. The Bible calls each one of us to live lives of honor. Now, what I see, in some ways, I consider myself a little bit progressive, and I don't mean politically. I'm not getting into political discussions here. But in many ways, I'm very, very conservative. And so I do things that are sometimes a little old-fashioned. I think we need to bring some of the honor and old-fashioned back into our life. For example, before I asked my wife her hand in marriage, I drove 750 miles from Springfield, Missouri, to Colorado Springs, Colorado, to ask my wife's father permission. And it was a very unnerving experience. I told you, he was a Marine. I walked into his house, and the first thing he did was roll up his sleeve and show me his Marine Corps tattoo. He knew that I was going to ask him. He'd caught wind. He'd caught word. And so one day, my wife and her mom strategically set up this meeting in which we all went to the mall, and my wife and her mother disappeared, and it was just me and Jake. We got some Orange Julius's, and we sat at a table. We did. I'll never drink Orange Julius again. We sat at a table in the food court, and it took me 45 minutes. To get up the nerve to ask my wife's father for permission. When I did and it was over, I walked up to my wife and I said, look at this, honey. My armpits were sweat all the way down. It was the most unnerving thing in my life. But I wanted to show him honor. When I go to baseball games and we sing the national anthem, I take off my hat and put my hand over my heart because I believe being American is of value and of worth. Yes, there are things in this country that I don't like, but I've also been to Uganda and the Congo and Peru and Turkey and Nicaragua and a bunch of other nations, and I'm thankful for what I have. I've been to countries led by military dictatorships. Living here as an American has value to me, and I honor my country by taking off my hat. When I pray, I often get down on my knees as a posture of honor before the Lord. At night in my home, I do the dishes just about every single night. My wife has cooked. She's an amazing cook, and you don't want me anywhere near the stove, and so I can clean. And the reason I clean is not because I like it, but because I want to honor her. I want to place value on her. I don't like it. I don't like cleaning dirty dishes. But when I'm cleaning, I think to myself, I'm honoring my wife by helping her. Now, unfortunately, honor has become an outward expression of respect rather than the cultivation and internal sense of value for God and for other people. Because the true meaning of honor is placing value, worth, and weight first on God and secondly on others. It's all about following Jesus. I have people say to me from time to time, well, when I come to church, I need to wear my Sunday best because it's my way of honoring God. And I say, that's fine. But then I watch how you live your life the rest of the week, and you gossip, and you're horrible, and you yell at your wife. Your suit does nothing to honor God because your behavior never matches it. I don't think God gives a rip what you wear on the weekend if you dishonor him Monday through Saturday. Because the way that you honor God has nothing to do with what you wear and everything to do with who you are. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12, the prophet Isaiah, God is speaking through him, and this is what God says to his people. He says, why do you keep parading through my courts with your worthless sacrifices? The incense you bring me is a stench in my nostrils. Your celebrations of the new moon and the Sabbath day and your special days for fasting, even your most pious of meetings, they're all sinful and false. I want nothing more to do with them. I hate all your festivals and sacrifices. I can't stand them. From now on, when you lift up your hands in prayer, I will refuse to look. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. For your hands are covered in blood, the blood of your innocent victims. Wash yourself and be clean. Let me no longer see your evil deeds. If you want to honor God, give up your wicked ways. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Help the oppressed. Defend the orphan and fight for widows. It's a hard word. If you're having a bad day, don't read the Old Testament prophets, because they get right to the core of things. God is saying, I don't care about your displays of worship if the life you live on the outside of church doesn't match the life you live on the inside. You're dishonoring me. And so two ideas I hope you walk away with today is, number one, to honor means to value or to give weight to something. The opposite of honor is dishonor. The word dishonor literally means to make common or ordinary. I dishonor my wife when I treat her like everyone else, when I treat her as ordinary or common. And I dishonor God when I treat my worship of him as just another ordinary thing. Sometimes I think we make worship gatherings something that's just common. I wonder, let's just dig deep for a moment. Let's dig deep into the recesses of our soul. I wonder how often we come into church on the weekend. We walk in the door and we come to our spot because we have our spot, and bless God, nobody better ever sit in our spot. And we sit down and we lean back in our chair and we say, okay, buddy, bless me if you can. Because if you don't sing the songs that I like, then we surely didn't worship today. And your sermon, whew, your sermon better be good. Your sermon better be really good, because I've just given up 30 minutes of my life to come here. And it better not be too long, because if it's too long, I'll get bored. But if it's too short, I really didn't get my money's worth, so you better make it the right length. And it needs to be funny, because you need to keep my attention, but it can't be too funny, because this is church after all. And it needs to be really practical, because I want to do something, I want it to be applicable, but it also needs to be really, really deep. And not only do you need to meet my needs with this sermon, but you also need to meet the needs of my 12-year-old who's sitting here, and you need to keep his attention. And I brought my mother-in-law today, and man, she really needs Jesus, so I really need you to speak to her as well. And do it all within 25 to 30 minutes. And we walk out, and we say, huh, I didn't really get much out of church today. What did you put into it? It's dishonoring to God when you don't take responsibility and invest in your own relationship with him. Worship has everything to do with him and absolutely nothing to do with us. Because if we come with the posture to church, well, I like my songs, and it's nothing more than a concert. And if we come with the posture, well, the sermon better entertain me, then it's nothing more than a comedy routine. As a father honors his son and a slave his master, if I am a father, where is the honor due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me? So how do I honor God? How do I honor God and add value to my interaction with him? Let me offer you three simple suggestions. Number one, live a life with expectancy. If I'm going to worship God or to pray or interact with him at all, do I have any expectation that he's going to be there and do anything? Sometimes when I pray, God answers my prayers, and I'm shocked. You ever pray and then God answers your prayer and you think, oh my gosh, God answered my prayer, as if we were expecting him not to. Number two, be intentional about spiritual practices. And number three, apply his word to your life, literally. Here's the second thing I want you to take away from today. To honor means to value God and to value those made in his image, and honor flows in every direction. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, he says, honor everyone. Honor everyone. Honor is the recognition of the value of each man and woman as a creation of God. People are to be honored and valued. But we're really, really good at devaluing each other, aren't we? We say stuff like, hey, Mike, now don't take this personal. Whenever someone says to me, now don't take this personal, I'm probably about to get my feelings hurt, right? Mike, don't take this personal, but we don't really like your sermons. Mike, don't take this personal. We don't really like what you do at your church. Don't take it personal, though. Don't take it personal. The thing that I've given my very life to, I bleed and sweat and cry for. You might as well have said, Mike, you're a jerk, your wife is ugly, and your kids are stupid. Don't take it personal. Scripture says, honor everyone. Honor those above you. Honor your parents. Honor your boss. Honor your leaders, even the ones you didn't vote for. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Let me just rant for a second, okay? I like to rant once in a while. When Peter wrote this, he says, honor the emperor. At the time, the emperor was Emperor Nero. If you know anything about Emperor Nero murdered his mother. He physically abused his second wife until she died. He was clearly deranged. King Nero wanted to rebuild Rome in his own image, so he burned the city down. Then he blamed it on the Christians, and as a result, he took the Christians, impaled them alive on sticks, covered them with wax, and burned them to light his gardens at night. That's King Nero. And Peter says, honor that guy. Peter, are you out of your mind? Honor that guy. Why? He's the emperor. That's why. Honor those above you. Honor those on the same level as you. Coworkers, your spouse, your friends. Honor those below you. Your kids, your employees. Honor flows in every direction, and honor flows through every generation. I have noticed there is a tension. There is a tension that exists between the older generations and the younger generations. And so I want to talk to both for just a minute. And so I want to first speak to the younger generations. So I'm 39, so anyone 39 and under, you're part of the younger generation, okay? Those of us in the younger generation, we need to learn to honor those who have gone before us. The book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 31 says that gray hair is a crown of glory. For those of us in the younger generations, Generation X, Generation Y, and the millennials, the complaint that I hear most from the older generations is that we're irreverent and entitled. Dr. Tim Elmore, who wrote a book called Generation IY, he did research on employment and younger people. And he asked employers to name the number one word that would describe the younger workers in their companies. And they named a word. It was the word entitled. Then this research firm went to the younger employees and said, your employers have you described you with one word. It starts with E. What do you think it is? And they said, excellent. Extraordinary. Some of us in the younger generation don't know how to show honor well. Those of us, those that have gone before us, they see things that we do not see. They have been there. They've done it. They've got the t-shirt, the scars, the discernment, and the wisdom. And so I think we have a responsibility to publicly honor those in the older generation. And some of us in the younger generation, I believe we need to repent because of our dishonor. Now, those that are in the older generation, if you say, am I in the older generation? If you've got to ask, the answer is probably yes. Psalm 71, the psalmist writes, even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all those who are to come. You're not going to reach the next generation if you fail to honor them. I read a statistic just last week. It was an article entitled The Top 10 Things That Keep Young People in Church. And the number one thing that keeps young people in church was a relationship, a significant relationship from someone in an older generation. It was the number one thing. Honor builds up, dishonor tears down. We want to perpetuate our faith and pass it on. We want to give the younger generations, our kids and our grandkids and our great-grandkids, our faith. Yet then we get upset when the expression of their faith looks a little bit different. Because quite honestly, the younger generations might not relate to what you related to when you got saved. It may look and feel a little different. It may be a little louder than you're used to. It may dress just a little bit different. And yet this younger generation is the most creative, mission, cause-driven generation that's ever existed. And so for those in the older generation, you need to honor the younger generation by investing in them and believing in them and, yes, tolerating them because they're going to mess up. I became a senior pastor at the age of 28, which is pretty young. And I made a lot of mistakes. And the only reason I survived was because of an older gentleman named Dr. Bob Cook, who was a supervisor in my denomination that chose to tolerate me, invest in me, talk with me, and help me. So don't resent and fear and judge the next generation, but invest in them. The children and the youth are not the church of tomorrow. The children and the youth are the church of today. And we need to get past style and appearance. Because when you get older, I have a lot of older friends in their 70s and 80s, and you begin to wonder, are my best days behind me? And the answer is no. Your age is your greatest asset because of what you've learned and experienced. At our church, we have this value, and it's this. Generations need each other. I think the devil wants to divide the generations because we need each other. Older, you need to invest in the younger people. And the younger people learn to honor and value the older. Paul even says honor those who are hard to honor. And the essence of the message is this: honor everyone. Those you disagree with and those you love. Those that you're related to and those you're not. Honor that crazy lady at work that drives you nuts. Honor those you don't like. Honor those you don't know. Honor those with lifestyles you would never endorse in a million years. Honor those that you want to smack every time you see them. Why? Because it says honor everyone. The Greek means everyone. Every single person, because they're made in the image of God. You want to honor, elevate others above yourself. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Put others above yourself. Speak well of others. Be kind, courteous. I was with my wife a few months ago in Chicago, and we love to go to Chicago. We love Lou Malnati's pizza. It is. If you We do. They put a whole sausage on the top is a sausage. The whole pizza. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. So we went to Lou Malnati's, and the only problem with Chicago stuffed pizza is it takes like an hour to cook it because it's so thick. And so we went to Lou Malnati's, and we were hungry. And I ordered a pizza, and it's going to take 45 minutes. And so I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I ordered some buffalo wings because I just needed something because I'm famished. I mean, it's bad. And when I get hungry, I get grouchy. It's like the Snickers commercial. And so I ordered these chicken wings, and the chicken wings come out. And me and my son, we just love chicken wings. And we bit into them, and they were completely raw on the inside. It was nasty. That's just disgusting. You ever just bitten into a raw piece of meat? It was gross. And so I know people in my life that if that would have happened to them, they would have went crazy. They would have started screaming at people. They would have started yelling at the waitress and screaming and raising a whole huff. And I thought, you know, I said to our waitress, I said, this chicken is raw. It's cold. And she goes, oh, let me get the manager. And I thought, she's been down this road before, where someone screamed at her and yelled at her for something. Not even her fault. She didn't cook it. So she went back, and the manager comes out, and I said, these are cold. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, sir. And he says, I'm going to get you a new batch, and I'm going to take it off your bill. And I said, nope, no problem. It's all good. What if I had gotten all worked up and screamed and yelled and acted dishonorable? I could have berated this poor lady who had nothing to do with it. If you're going to yell at someone, go yell at the cook. But instead, I decided, I want to be a person that shows honor in everything. Because if you think about it, maybe you've even done it. You go somewhere, wherever, a grocery store, restaurant, or wherever, and something happens that's inconvenient. And you raise a huff, and you yell, and make demands. And then you walk out, and I wonder, how does that honor? How does that honor God? And how does that honor others? One time I did something, I can't remember what it was, but I got upset about something, and at a restaurant or something, and I walked out, and the thought hit me. What if that person showed up at Northbrook and sat in the front row on Sunday? Because that would be my luck. That would be my luck. I would do something, and then they'd be right there. What would that do to my Christian witness? I think to be a follower of Jesus, we need to be compassionate, but we also need to be honoring. I wonder what it would look like if we practiced the virtue of honor every day. What would it look like if all of us practiced honor in the communities that we lived in? What would our families look like? What would our cities look like? What would our world look like if we became people that honored everyone? Gracious God, I thank you again for the opportunity we've had to come together. And I think today, God, this is can be a hard word because we live in a very, very imperfect world. We live with people. We live in a world of imperfect people. And they frustrate us. Some people drive us crazy. Some people are rude and inconsiderate. And yet you call us to honor everyone. And I pray for those that are here today that have people in their life that it is really hard for them to honor. There are people in this room in which it would be extremely painful for them to honor certain individuals. And God, quite honestly, I'm not even sure what that would look like. But I pray you would give grace in those moments. I don't believe honoring means we have to like everyone. God, and I know that honoring doesn't mean approving of everything. But help us. Help us, Lord, to be people of faith, people that follow you, people of honor. Amen.